Today's reading is very apt, given today's health crisis, or the health crisis that we're all facing just now. Except it's not about hand washing, it's about foot washing. Still a good thing. But behind it, there's a very strong message. In fact, there are two very strong messages. The one that is most commonly associated with Jesus washing his disciples' feet is the idea that we too should serve each other humbly. So that's the probably the most well-known lesson that's drawn from this. But there's another lesson as well, which is the need for us to be humble before God and to allow him to serve us. So let's read what happens. We're looking at John chapter 13. It's on page number 1081 if you want to follow in the church Bibles. John chapter 13, reading to the end of verse 17. Let's listen for the word of God. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped round them. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not every one of you was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Amen. May God bless to our hearts and to our understanding this reading of his holy word, and to his name be all the glory and the praise. John is very good at painting pictures. And he begins by painting in the background. We find the background in verse 1. It lets us know what's about to happen, or the context in which it happens. We're told it's the Passover. The Passover, remember, was a day of national remembrance, a bit like our Remembrance Sunday. It was when the people remembered the sacrifice of the Passover lamb, which saved the life of their firstborn sons and set them free from slavery in Egypt. And we're told now Jesus' own time had come. So the connection is there, plain for us all to see. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He knows his time is now limited. This is his last night with his disciples. The next day is going to be the day of crucifixion. So he wants to reveal to his disciples in detail everything they now need to know so that they can carry on the work he has begun. And this is exactly what he does in the next five chapters of John's Gospel. In those chapters, you find the words of Jesus, his final teaching to his disciples, as recorded by John. And they contain all the really deep stuff, the stuff that John's gospel is famous for. But before Jesus says anything, he does something. Graham Tomlin talks about Jesus as a man of action. His words tend to come after his actions. In other words, he does something first. Usually it's something unexpected and surprising. And then, having done it, he explains why he has done it. And that's exactly what we see happening here. The scene is set. Now John gets us to zoom in a bit closer and watch the action. The disciples are together with Jesus in the upper room. They've just celebrated the Passover meal together. And this meal they just celebrated together was the Last Supper. It was the time when Jesus said, "This is my body, this is my blood, do this in remembrance of me." But notice John doesn't mention that. It's almost as if he assumes that the people who are reading his gospel many years later would already be doing this, so they already know all about that. Instead, he focuses in on what happens immediately afterwards. Because once again, Jesus does something unexpected and surprising. He takes off his outer garments, he wraps a towel around his waist, he asks for a basin of water, and he begins to go around washing his disciples' feet. Now, it's surprising for a number of reasons. Firstly, washing feet wasn't surprising. That was something very familiar. It was the custom for guests' feet to be washed when they went for a meal. Remember the story of Jesus at the home of Simon the leper. Simon the Pharisee. He points out to Simon, his host, that his feet hadn't been washed. So it's quite a common thing, and it's very accepted. What is surprising is that if they were going to have their feet washed, it should have happened at the very beginning. But here Jesus is doing it after the meal. So it's clear he's making a point here. He's wanting them to learn a lesson. So that's one of the surprising things about it. Second thing that's really surprising is that, well, to them, they know that foot washing is the job of the servants. That's what servants do. It's not very pleasant. You get your servants to do it. That's what they're paid for. It's not the job of someone they look up to. It's not the job of their respected leader and their respected teacher. Imagine just for a minute if I was to stop right there and then get out a basin of water and a towel, and take off my blue robe, and then start walking down towards you and go around and offering to wash your feet. That's all right. I don't have a basin of water there. But how would you feel? You'd sort of think, ooh, you'd feel a bit awkward. You'd feel a bit embarrassed. Well, I would. He's not touching my feet. That is exactly how the disciples felt that night. He's not touching my feet. Of course, none of them say anything until he gets to Peter. Peter's always the one who says what everybody else is thinking. So he gets to Peter. Peter says, "You're not seriously going to wash my feet, are you?" And Jesus says, "Don't worry, Peter, you'll understand all about this soon. But it's all too much. No, Lord, you will never wash my feet." But Jesus says, "Unless you let me wash your feet, you can no longer be part of the things that I am here for. You can no longer be part of me." I think Peter has two problems, and if we're honest, they're problems that if we were there, we might share with him. He's embarrassed because Jesus is someone he looks up to. So everything is the wrong way around. It should be him washing Jesus' feet, not Jesus washing his feet. It's all wrong. Then he's embarrassed. But I think he's also embarrassed because this is all getting a bit too intimate. He doesn't want someone he looks up to touching his dirty feet. Doesn't mind a servant doing it, but not someone he looks up to. I think that in this act, Jesus is linking together two things. He's linking together our need to accept a regular cleansing from the impurity of sin and our need to humbly serve each other. So I think there's two things going on here, and they're both equally important. One is about our relationship with God, and one is about our relationship with each other. As I said, the disciples would already have been familiar with the custom of foot washing, but foot washing to them would have also had a deeper, more spiritual meaning. Listen to these words from the book of Exodus. These are words of instruction. This is how true worship is meant to take place. The Lord said to Moses, "Take a bronze basin with its bronze stand for washing. Place it between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it. Aaron and his sons are to wash their hands and feet with water from it. Whenever they enter the tent of meeting, they shall wash with water so that they will not die. Also, when they approach the altar to minister by presenting an offering made to the Lord, they shall wash their hands and feet so that they will not die. This is to be a lasting ordinance for Aaron and his descendants for generations to come." So every time there was an offering in the temple, the priests making the offering had to first wash their hands and feet. And that would still be the case. It was for generations to come. The big temple in Jerusalem, every time the priests made an offering, they had to first wash their hands and feet. This was the time of the Passover. The Passover sacrifice would be being made in the temple. So there would have been a lot of foot washing going on, not just practical, have a bath type foot washing, but ceremonial cleansing type foot washing. Symbolically, when you washed your feet, you were washing off the dirt of the world. You're washing off the sins of the world before you entered into the holy place. And just as the temple priests in Jerusalem would have to wash their feet as they prepared for the Passover sacrifice, so the disciples now needed to wash their feet as they prepared for Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Remember, Jesus says to Peter, "You will understand what this is all about. You will understand." The symbolism is there and it's very clear. When you understand that this is happening on the night of the Passover. Peter, of course, gets carried away. "Then wash the whole of me," he says. "No," says Jesus, "for you're already clean, though not all of you," meaning Judas. And then, having done it, he explains, "I have shown you by my own example how I want things to be done when I'm gone." Philip Yancey points out that there are only three specific occasions in the gospel where Jesus commands us to continue doing something. There's baptism, there's communion, and there's the washing of each other's feet. Baptism, if you like, is a one-off thing symbolizing the cleansing of the whole person. It's the bath that Jesus is talking about. It's a sign that we repent of all that is wrong in our life. It's a sign that we are forgiven, that we are washed clean, that we are cleansed of all our sins. It's a sign that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to live the life God wants us to live. It's a one-off. Communion is an ongoing act of remembrance and faith. It's a continuing visible demonstration of our willingness to share in Christ's brokenness and be cleansed and renewed by his blood. And it's something we continue to do together. A visible demonstration of the fact that we see ourselves as a community of forgiven sinners on a journey together. But what about foot washing? That's the third thing Jesus in the Gospels commands us to do. Foot washing. I think foot washing is a symbolic acknowledgement that just because we are Christians does not mean we are perfect. Our feet are the part of us that are in daily contact with the world. You know, in hot countries, I'm not going to mention the name of the country just in case you get the idea. But in hot countries where people go barefoot or wear sandals, your feet are constantly picking up things that you don't want them to pick up. So just as for the disciples, foot washing is a regular act of cleansing, just for, as for anyone in a hot country, foot washing is a regular act of cleansing. It's only your feet that need washed. You can have your bath, but you still need to get your feet washed. So for us all, the cleansing of confession and forgiveness should be a regular part of our daily lives. As I said, in the act of foot washing, Jesus is linking two things. It's to do with God, it's to do with each other. He's linking our need to accept the regular cleansing from our sins. And he's linking that with our need to humbly serve each other. Notice how, having washed their feet, Jesus then asks them to continue to wash each other's feet. Remember, foot washing is all about cleansing in a spiritual way as well as a physical way. So what Jesus is asking is for his disciples to continue to forgive and to be forgiven, to confess their sins to each other, and to restore relationships on a regular basis. There's no room in the church for unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is like a poison. It works its way into our lives and into our fellowship, and it drives out all the joy, and all we're left with is empty duty. That's what happens if we allow unforgiveness to fester. The church is a family. And like all families, there are bound to be people who irritate us. Not all the time, but some of the time. There are bound to be misunderstandings. There are bound to be falling outs. And yet, if our faith is to mean anything at all, it must provide us with the tools to deal with this when it happens. And of course, it does. The Bible gives us very clear instructions what to do when we've been hurt by someone or when we've fallen out with someone. Jesus himself says, first of all, go to that person. Don't go to someone else and moan about them. Go to that person. Go prayerfully, go humbly, go with the best intentions and try and sort it out. And if that doesn't work, Jesus says, involve someone else who you both trust, who will listen to you both, and see if they can pour oil on troubled waters. Ultimately, what you're aiming for is forgiveness and a willingness to forgive. You're washing each other's feet. Jesus knows that asking someone for their forgiveness is not easy. It's as easy as allowing someone to wash your feet. It's embarrassing. It's awkward. But it has to be done. Once it's done, the difference it makes. I remember once in this other country that I was talking about, walking for several miles in my sandals, a bunch of us to a wedding. Well, it wasn't a wedding, actually. It was a religious feast. And when we got there, tired and worn out, the host came round, and he had a boy with him, and they washed our feet. And the feeling of having your feet washed, that's all you needed. You were totally refreshed. You didn't need a bath. You were totally refreshed. I can still remember that feeling. And that feeling of being totally refreshed is what happens when a burden is lifted from us through forgiveness and reconciliation. It's gone. If we don't have our feet washed regularly, then we become rather unpleasant people to be around. If we allow unforgiveness to fester, the result is the same. If our faith is to mean anything to us, real rather than just a paper exercise, we must be able to forgive each other and be forgiven. And not just something that's glib and artificial, but as an act of trust. An act of trust on the part of the offender, an act of humble service on the part of the forgiver. something that allows healing to take place. Communion binds us together as a people who love and trust God. Confession and forgiveness is what binds us together as a people who love and trust each other. Hopefully, we will have an opportunity to celebrate this symbolically through the washing of each other's feet. This is something that happens on the Monday of Holy Week after the Passover meal that we celebrate jointly with all the other churches. And I always say at the time, coming forward so that first your own feet can be washed and then you in turn wash someone else's feet is an act of real courage and an act of real trust. Shall we pray? Loving Father, earlier on we have prayed, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And so speak to our hearts now. Direct our thoughts to any lingering unforgiveness, whether we are the ones at fault or whether others are at fault with us. And give us the courage and the trust to be able to sort it out, that we might be the people you want us to be and a witness to the world of the healing power of forgiveness. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.